message, and I want to begin by making this statement that I didn't hold to be true for a long part of my life. It is this: relationship is everything. Relationship is everything. My grandfather, who was actually a pastor of a four-square church in Courtney on Vancouver Island for about 25 years, he served as the pastor there. And growing up in the church under his tutelage, he would always make this statement that I didn't like. I didn't like it as a kid. I didn't like it as a teenager. I didn't even really, I liked it as a young adult, but I didn't know what it meant. And he would just always say, life is relationship. Life is relationship. All the time. It was his tagline. It was his motto. And it kind of irritated me, to be honest with you, because he said it so much. But it's true. Did you know that? Do you believe it? I didn't know what he meant at the time. It's taken a while to discover that, yes, that in fact that statement is true. And it's taken me even longer to apply it to my life, to live that reality. But even if you didn't know that, or you maybe today you don't believe it, that life is relationships, you have certainly experienced its reality. Did you know that the whole mess of the world that we are in as a humanity, in this world, in this cosmos that we live in, the whole mess of it is due to a fallout of relationship. Going back all the way to the garden, Adam and Eve, what did they do? They sinned. They turned their back on God, and not only did they experience separation in their relationship with God, but also distance between Adam and Eve as humans. And furthermore, all of creation in which humanity is put over to rule creation, with that corrupted relationship between us and God and us and one another, sin and death and corruption entered even the fabric of creation itself. We moved from a blessed state of eternal harmony to a cursed corruption leading to death. You know what came as a result of that? A lot of women in this room can identify with it. Painful labor, childbirthing. Before that, there would have been no pain in giving birth to children. Do you know what else came with it? Hard work, weeds. Weeds came with it. All of a sudden, our work turned to filled with sweat and stress and strife and loss and interruption, setbacks. Men and women, as a result of a disconnect between us and God, would all of a sudden begin to manipulate one another, hurt one another, fighting for power and control in our relationships, in our marriages, in our homes and workplaces. With it came cancer, addiction, poverty, war, and all of the evils that we know way too well in this life, and ultimately death was the result, all flowing from a broken relationship with God and subsequently one another. We get a greater or more personal glimpse of this. You know when mom is angry in the home? Maybe hangry. When mom is angry, ain't no one allowed to have fun under this roof, right? Or when dad is angry, everybody stay out of his way, right? When a teenager is having a mood, whole family is brought down. All of a sudden, this fun family vacation is not so fun anymore because somebody's having a mood. Or when a teenager, I mean, this happens at all ages, but it's just more dramatic and more seen at a teenager level. When a teenager gets dumped or rejected by the person that they hang the sun, the moon, and the stars on that person. And what happens when you get dumped or rejected? All of a sudden it's, my life is over. We say, what is the point of living if I can't be with so-and-so? Life is relationship. Or think about it at a government level. When a dictator, for example, is upset or insulted, what happens? Heads roll. Or maybe again a little closer to home, a father abandons his family. What happens? Crime, drug use, poverty, teen pregnancy, it all statistically increases. What happens when a mom neglects care of a child, especially in the early years? Anxiety, depression, emotional regulation, all of the things that are impacted out of relationships or the lack thereof. Or maybe right now you've hopped on the Vancouver Canucks bandwagon. They've clinched a playoff spot. You know what? That's the most bizarre of relationships, isn't it? But life is relationships. In fact, you as a fan towards the Canucks, guess what happens? You give them your heart. You give them your time. You give them your money. And what do they do with it? They take it. They rip your heart out. They drop it on the ground. And like a cigarette, they just rub it out. Do you remember 1994? Do you remember 2011? And every other year. But do you remember what ensued? A riot. Fans were so heartbroken, so distraught at the distance, the letdown, the brokenness between their relationship, between the Canucks and themselves as a fan. And guess what happens? A riot ensues. Chaos, destruction, smashing store windows, flipping over police cars. All because a sports team lost in a tournament. Life is relationship. And for fans that hang their whole identity and their security, their hopes and their dreams on the well-being of the Vancouver Canucks, what happens when that partner lets them down? A riot ensues. Chaos ensues. Life is relationship. It's how we are wired as humans. Did you know that we, each of us, were made in the very image and likeness of God? And at the very core of God's very nature, guess what's there? A united, harmonious, eternal relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he makes us in his image and likeness. It's why our world falls out of sorts when relationships get sour. Our thriving or our failure in life flows from relationship. How we are with God impacts how we are doing. How we are as humans. And then how we are doing as humans now impacts how we are doing with one another. You see, this is what Easter is all about. I think sometimes we get fooled into thinking that Easter is about forgiveness of sins. That Easter is about solving the problem of death. But that's not what Easter is about. Those events are critical, don't get me wrong, but they are simply the means of Easter. They are not the end or the purpose of Easter. For the very purpose of Christ's death and resurrection was to remove what stood in the way between us and him having a right relationship with him. The purpose of Easter is oneness with God. I know we all know that God, through Christ, taught us how we are to pray to him. I think we all know Matthew 6, our Father, who art in heaven, and on it goes. But did you know what God's prayer through Christ is for you? Did you know that Jesus prayed and is praying for you? And do you know what his prayer is for you? John chapter 17 outlines and records Jesus' prayer before he would cross the valley and go into the garden where he would be betrayed, arrested, eventually tried, crucified, die, buried, and then resurrect from the dead. But before all of that happened, he prayed a prayer for you. Perhaps it was to aid his focus, but I think really entirely it was simply for our benefit, even 2,000 years later. It's a very intimate prayer. It starts with him asking for his life to be used for the glory of the Father. You see the intimacy between him and his Father. And then the prayer shifts towards his heart for his disciples, his apostles. He prays for the apostles that will be sent as his messengers into the whole world to spread the good news of the gospel. He prays for them. And then he prays for us. He prays for you, he prays for me, starting in verse 20. This is Jesus' prayer. My prayer is not for them alone, meaning for the apostles alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me. That's you and me. That's his prayer for you. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, meaning the apostles' message. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those who you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Think about that. That is Christ's prayer for you. That's his one desire, his one ask of his heavenly Father, is that you would know him and his Father like he knows his Father, that you would be one with him like he is one with him. God loves you. He desires a relationship with you. He desires for your relationship with him to be restored, because if you do not know him, it is separate, disconnected. And out of his love for you, he made the first move. He went all in, risked it all. He laid down his life. He did what we could never do. He made a way. And the funny thing is we're the ones that incurred the debt. And yet he went and paid it. When it should be us in the doghouse, so to speak, groveling to come back in, if only as a servant in my Father's household, he came to serve us. We read in Scripture, he didn't come to condemn us, but he came to save us, to serve us by laying down his life, that we may be right with him, that we might enter a relationship with him, that we might be one with God, experiencing forevermore what we were made for, who we were made for. Life with God and us in him, the byproduct of which is a harmony that causes both us and others, even creation itself, to be blessed and not cursed. Is that what you're experiencing this Easter? Is that what you're celebrating this Easter? Is that what you found in Christ? Is that what you're investing your life towards? Or do you have more time and more money and more heart in the Vancouver Canucks than oneness with God? Blessing or curse, love or hate, hope or despair, energy or exhaustion, generosity or greed, forgiveness or bitterness, kindness or harshness, grace or impatience, healing or hurt, freedom or enslavement, life or death, all flow from whether or not we are connected to the source of life, the source of blessing, the source of goodness, who is our God. Oneness, friendship, closeness with God makes all the difference in the world. You see, the events of Easter are the means by which we can have a relationship with God both now and forevermore. The events of Easter are the means by which we can start relating to one another as Christ has done to us. The events of Easter reverse the curse of sin and death and bring in their place blessings of righteousness and life, peace and love. They pave the way for paradise, a return to the garden for humanity, how life was in fact meant to be. God dwelling with us and us with Him, and out of that peace with others and with creation, order, life, goodness instead of chaos, evil, and death. Maybe right now, maybe today, maybe in this season, you're in a relationship that's looking a lot more like hell than heaven. Maybe your business is going sideways. Maybe your job is just terrible. Maybe your kids are causing you great angst. Maybe the state of the world right now is just weighing so heavy on you. Maybe you're just tired and exhausted. Maybe you're stuck in sin. Maybe you've been going for so long, you just feel nothing. Maybe you're leaning actually even towards the lie that you're better off dead than alive. Maybe you think too low of yourself, or maybe you think too high of yourself. Maybe you've been duped into the lie that this life is as good as it gets. And in fact, your life is pretty good. This is what I was made for. Maybe you have a health condition right now that's just brutal. And on and on and on it goes. The fallout, the effect of sin, the disconnect between us and God. Now, the reverse of it will not always happen overnight. But you start by receiving Christ's invitation into relationship with Him. You receive His free gift of His life, death, and resurrection, and you will be forgiven of your sin. You will be made new on the inside. You will be given His Spirit to dwell within you and to help you through this life. And like a baby, you'll learn to begin to walk for the first time in your relationship with Him, and you will begin a personal relationship with God that will continue to grow and go. And little by little, we conquer our sinful habits. Little by little, we heal from the sin of others. Little by little, we grow stronger in God's righteousness and love. And little by little, we change from the old corrupted self to the new child of God that we are in Him. And it's that new child that begins to have an impact on those around us. And all of a sudden, just as we sang in those songs, all of a sudden it's Christ in me beginning to work, beginning to shine a bright light, beginning to melt, beginning to heal. Christ at work in us, he moves through us. All of a sudden now, our words that used to cut down, our words now speak life, speak truth, speak kindly. All of a sudden now, a heart that was kind of defaulted to bitterness and hurt and self-pity and anger, all of a sudden now begins to look up and look out and to have a heart of compassion and of mercy and a grace towards others that moves towards loving others unconditionally. All of a sudden, our hands that were used to get what I wanted and grab what I can get out of this life, all of a sudden now are used to heal and to help and to serve and to give away. Peace on earth starts with peace with God. That is what Easter is all about. That is what Easter is for. How have the events of Easter changed your life? Do you wait on the Lord? Do you connect and abide and commune with Him, the source of life? Think about that. The source of all that is true and good and pure. Do you connect with Him? We read in Isaiah, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Do you walk in a close, personal relationship with God? Maybe you've never had a relationship with Him. Maybe up until this point you've been an atheist, an agnostic, or maybe you're into spirituality. Maybe you subscribe to some other religion or worldview. But today, the words and the work of Christ are speaking to you today, and you too today desire what He desires, to be one with Him, to be reunited with God, your Maker. He loves you. He died for you. He welcomes you. He forgives you and will restore you and make you new. He wants a relationship with you. And all you have to do to enter into that relationship and to receive all that He has for us is simply to receive Him by faith. He's gone all in for you, risked it all, embarrassedly hung on the cross, enduring our shame and scorn for us. He's gone all in. It's His best offer, it's His only offer, it's the greatest offer. And He says, do you want it? And if you simply say yes, all of that and more is yours. Christ and all that flows from Him. In fact, today you can confess Him. We use the language of confess Him as your Lord and as your Savior. In fact, right now, why don't we bow our heads, all of us together in prayer. If you want today, you can repeat these words after me. That is the prayers of acceptance and invitation, acceptance to His invitation for salvation. And just simply repeat after me these words. Jesus, I want what You're offering. Forgiveness of my sin. New and eternal life. Your Holy Spirit to live within me. I want You and You alone, both now and forever. Amen.